ಆಗ್ಯತ ಮೇನಂದಸ್ಯ Krishna has left the Talaman forest and has arrived. He's walking into Braja. All the residents of Vrindavan are feeling so much separation from Krishna. Why? He has been out all day, and for them, the blinking of their eyes causes them to feel separation from Krishna. What to speak of not seeing Krishna for the whole day? He's been herding the cows, which has taken him further from Vrindavan than his usual herding of the calves. So therefore, the residents of Vrindavan, their separation is even deeper. Yugayitam namesha na chakshusha svayasayitam namesha. Practically, namesha means the blinking of an eye. Seems like a yuga, a moment. Seems like thousands of years in separation from Krishna. So, when Krishna and the cowherd boys are entering, first the dust of the cows is seen, then the sound of the flute is heard, and the sound of the cowherd boys singing the glories of Krishna. Stuyamanano anagara gopai. And these glories of Krishna are pious. Whoever chants or hears punya shravana kirtana radyanta stoya badrani vidanotita saritvatam. But Krishna, if one becomes eager to hear the glories of Krishna or chant the glories of Krishna, Krishna from within the heart removes all the whatever inauspiciousness is present. So they're coming. The cowherd boys and Krishna coming. The residents of Vrindavan come forward from the town to see Krishna. It is automatic. The fragrance of Krishna is perceived, smelled by the young gopis. The form, the face of Krishna, the sweet honey-like face of Krishna, topped with a peacock feather, with his eyes that are shaped like Kamala Patraksha. His eyes are shaped like the petals of a lotus. So the eyes of the gopis forcibly become independent and they rush to Krishna. What does that mean? It means that, as most of us probably experience sometimes in our life, if there's a member of the opposite sex walking, it's not exactly polite to stare at that person, or it's not polite to stare at anyone. But sometimes the eyes become quite independent and they do what they're not supposed to do. So the gopis, their eyes became completely independent and stared at Krishna. And that is where the next verse will take us, text 42. Lord Krishna's hair powdered with the dust raised by the cows. So this is describing Krishna's beautiful form. The cows had, when they're walking, they raise dust, and that dust becomes a decoration for Krishna. And his hair was decorated with a peacock feather and forest flowers. The Lord glanced charmingly and smiled beautifully, playing upon his flute while his companions chanted his glories. The gopis all together came forward to meet him, their eyes very eager to see him. With their bee-like eyes, because bees, the gopis' eyes were blackish. And their bee-like eyes, just like bees move this way and that. The gopis' eyes were moving, they were not steady. So with bee-like eyes, the women of Vrindavan drank the honey, as bees are attracted to pollen and honey. So the eyes of the women of Vrindavan, the young gopis, drank the honey of the beautiful face of Lord Mukunda. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. And thus they gave up the distress they had felt during the day because of separation from him. The young Vrindavan ladies cast sidelong glances at the Lord, glances filled with bashfulness, laughter, and submission. That's Savrida, Hasa, and Vinayam, Yat Upanga Moksham. And Krishna, Sri Krishna, he completely accepted these glances as a proper offering of respect. And he, Sri Krishna, entered the cowherd village. So this is the purvara, the separation, before there is actual meeting of the young gopis of Vrindavan and Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, yesterday we read the purport, I believe. The beginning of the purport, we'll read that again. It's from the Krishna book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada describes this incident as follows. All the gopis in Vrindavan remained very morose on account of Krishna's absence. They could not gain any pleasure because Krishna was not there. All day they were thinking of Krishna in the forest or of him herding cows in the pasture. Their consciousness was always meditating upon Krishna. When they saw Krishna returning, all their anxieties were immediately relieved and they began to look at his face the way drones hover over the honey of the lotus flower. When Krishna entered the village, the young gopis smiled and laughed. Krishna, while playing the flute, enjoyed the beautiful smiling faces of the gopis. So the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sanatana Goswami describe this in more detail. First, Sanatana Goswami, Yad Savrida Hasya Vinayam Yad Upanga Moksham. Savrida begins to describe the offering made by the gopis. There were three things. Savrida means with shame. It was shy. Hasa, with laughter. Vinayam, humility or humbleness. So this is what the gopis offered to Krishna with their glances. And Krishna accepted those offerings with his own sidelong glance. Sidelong glance means looking at them from the corner of his eye. Srila Sridhar Swami says, during the day, separation can imply that there was no separation at night, as they now saw him in Nanda Bhavan. They saw them, Krishna, so that there was a relief and they would be able to glance at Krishna at Nanda Bhavan and other places. So the three words of what the gopis' offering was Savrida, or Lajja, with shame, Hasa, with laughter, and Vinayam, with humility. We'll read some more of the comments. Sanatana Goswami says, He is called Mukunda because he bestows ananda, or bliss. Thus it is implied that his face also has the quality of giving ecstasy, which defeats liberation. or else within whose face are the jasmine flowers in the form of his teeth, which in this way hints at the special beauty of his divine face, which is dark blue with reddish lips. Drinking the honey of that with their bee-like eyes means rapidly, directly looking with the supreme attraction of his beauty. So they directly looked at Krishna. Moreover, by assuming the form of bees, by their eyes being unsteady and having other qualities similar to the bees, is established his special beauty, because the bees, they like to hover around honey. So Krishna's face was as sweet as honey. That is its special quality. It is also hinted that they repeatedly cast their glance here and there at the different features of his divine face. And here is Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's quite a special comment on this verse, because it described how Krishna and the cowherd boys were entering in, and previously we heard how Krishna entered before anyone else. He was at the head of the herd of cows and the cowherd boys, because everyone had left him so he could have this exchange with the gopis. And this is what this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's description. After coming forward, what did they do? So they came forward, the gopis came forward. With the bees of their eyes, they drank the honey in the form of the smile within the face of Mukunda. They looked at him, at his smile, his beautiful smile. By this we understand that the gopis, without fear, drank the natural smile of Krishna fully with their eyes, not with a sidelong glance. So when he first entered, they looked at him directly, not out of the corner of their eyes. Krishna, however, did not see them, for his mind was elsewhere. But at the next moment, when Krishna took notice of them, so the gopis were looking at Krishna directly, and then Krishna was looking the other direction, and then Krishna turned around and saw them looking at him. When Krishna took notice of them, there arose within the gopis a smile, harsha, based on their elation. So they got caught by Krishna looking at them, and they smiled. They were so happy that their glances had met. They then became ashamed. So first they smiled, then they experienced the vinayam, savrinda, some shame. First their first ecstasy was one of happiness, and then their next ecstasy was one of feeling shame. That shame caused their smile to be hidden away, and they covered their faces with their left hands, very, very, very shyly. Next arose some shyness, which they expressed by covering their different features. So all these different emotions, ecstatic emotions, one by one went through their minds, and it was expressed in their bodies in different ways. Lord Krishna experienced all this sweetness that was going on through the different ecstasies that were going through their minds. And again, this has nothing to do with the material world and the material emotions, other than the fact that material emotions like this and experiences like this are reflections of the spiritual. And the actual truth, the reality of the situation, exists here in the spiritual world. So when Krishna saw the different changes, ecstatic changes, loving changes in the mind of the gopis, first they looked at him fully. Then when he glanced back at them, they became shy. First happy, then shy, then embarrassed, like that. So he accepted their offerings of respect, because this was the offerings they made to him when he was entering. They were offerings of respect and affection. So he accepted their offerings of respect in the form of such glances. And because of his being the most expert in romantic skills, he received them, accepting the relishable taste, and then he entered the cowherd village. Here the two activities, the offering of respect through the glances and the acceptance of it through Krishna's own sidelong glance, which in this verse is Apanga Moksha, he released a sidelong glance. These occur one after another, characterized by the two adjectives beginning Savridra, shame and laughter, Vinayam, humility, humbleness, applying to the gopi's offering of respect, and yet Apanga Moksham, sidelong glances, applying to Krishna's acceptance of that respect. So this was all in a moment. But this moment was ecstatic. The gopis saw Krishna. They stared at him in ecstasy for a moment. And Krishna turned. And then their mind went through different bhavas, changes in moods. And then Krishna looked at them, accepting their glancing at him and their different moods as their affectionate gift of respect to him and his returning. And he accepted it with his own glance. Thus the gopis' offering of respect was comprised of laughing with embarrassment and also humility. And Lord Krishna's acceptance of that respect was through his release of a sidelong glance. Because of feeling shame that he had noticed that they were looking at him with their full eyes, they suddenly turned away and looked at him with a sidelong glance. And for the purpose of receiving the gopis' sidelong glance, Lord Krishna also released his own sidelong glance. And then Vishwanath gives a unique metaphorical explanation of this exchange between Krishna and the gopis. Each of his intimate associates, the gopis, had collected eagerness in the ointment smeared upon their eyes. And this was brought forward and offered to him as their glances. So their eagerness had been stored in their eyes. Their eagerness to what? Their eagerness to see him, because they had been missing him all day long, and it was stored in their eyes, and it escaped. Their eagerness escaped from their eyes in the form of their glance. They similarly had collected joy within the folded palms of their own bud-like lips, and thus they also brought that forward and offered him the flowers of their smiles. And what are the flowers of their smiles? The bud-like lips opened up, and the jasmine-like teeth were like little white flowers. They were present also as offerings to Krishna to make Krishna happy. This then was their offering of sweet smiling glances. So two offerings, their eyes and their smiles, their laughing. Their presentations had been made with the words, "These two items are all we have in our homes, and therefore we must offer them to you. Please mercifully accept these small things." At that time, in order to receive their worship, Krishna sent his own sidelong glance towards them. And being the most tricky person, he had previously gone into the privacy of their homes and tried to steal those two items. But at the same time, Krishna was captured by the gopis. But when he brought out these two items that he had attempted to steal and was willing to give them back, the gopis released him from his bondage. But he then, like a great hero, suddenly attempted to again seize the items. Immediately, the superintendent of the treasury of the gopis, Shame, appeared and endeavored to cover up these two presentations of worship. So Krishna's glance, the gopis were offering this to Krishna, their smile and their beautiful glances. And then when Krishna tried to steal those, he looked at them. The gopis, what did they do? Using the veil of their shame, they tried to take them back. But then Krishna turned away, and subsequently, as a confrontation was developing between the two of them, Krishna, who wanted to take, he was pulling their glances and their smiles, but they were taking them back by their shyness. So a fight began between them, a struggle. A confrontation was developing between two of them, Krishna and Shame. Another companion of the gopis, humility, arrived in order to make peace. So they began to be very humble. Just then, the powerful sidelong glance sent by Krishna attracted the offering of the gopis' smiling glance, together with their shame and their humility. Krishna's glance came and took everything. And taking them all together, his glance offered them all to Krishna. And he, Krishna, received such a very rare treasure as these three items, their smiling glance, their shame, and their humility. And he put them away within the recesses of his own heart. This story is understood as the elucidation of their offering of respect and Krishna's releasing his own sidelong glance in response. So that was the quite an amazing comment by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, which is describing the different ecstatic exchanges between Krishna and the gopis, which do not take place even hinting of anything of the world of matter. This is true ecstasy on the spiritual platform, based on complete unselfishness, complete love for Krishna, and Krishna's reciprocation with that. So, Srila Sanatana Goswami also commented that when the gopis first looked at Krishna, and he noticed that they were looking at him, he didn't, because one thing he could have done was put his head down, because that would be a possible response too, but he didn't, because he didn't want to lose the opportunity to cast his special affectionate glance at them. He caught their glance with his eyes, and then came their smile, their shame, their humility. And then Krishna, with his own glance, he captured that, and he accepted that as their loving gift to him. So those two verses that describe Krishna's entrance into the town of Vrindavan after his being away for the first day on Gopastami, when he heard the cows, is the two verses in this chapter that describe the purvarag of the gopis. Now, there are three verses that describe other loving exchanges of Krishna with the gopis, but these are the elderly gopis, Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini. So, Tayo Yasoda Rohinyo Putrayo Putra Vatsale Yata Kamam Yata Kalam Vyadatam Paramashishaha. Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, acting most affectionately towards their two sons, so they had other offerings to make. They offered all the best things to them in response to Krishna and Balaram's every desire at the various appropriate times. Purport. The word paramashishaha indicates the attractive blessings of a loving mother, which includes wonderful food, beautiful clothing, jewelry, toys, and constant affection. The words yatakamam, yatakalam indicate that although Yasoda and Rohini satisfied all the desires of their sons, Krishna and Balaram, they also properly regulated the boys' activities. In other words, they prepared wonderful food for their children, but they saw to it that the boys ate at the proper time. Similarly, that children would play at the proper time and sleep at the proper time. The word yata kamam does not indicate that the mothers indiscriminately allowed the boys to do whatever they liked, but in the proper civilized way they showered their blessings upon their children. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments that the mothers loved their sons so much that as they embraced them, they would carefully check all their limbs to see if they were healthy and strong. So this is the love of the mothers for their two children. Sanatana Goswami also says, at different times, one or the other of them, Mother Yasoda and Mother Rohini, would give something to one or other of the two, Krishna or Balaram. Well, sometimes they would both simultaneously give something to them. Still, because of her being the most extremely affectionate, the queen of Vrindavan Yashoda is principal here, and Sri Rohini is secondary and rendering assistance. According to the proper time means that in the evening and sunset, as well at other times, according to the proper regulations, so according to the proper times, different things had to be done. There was the bathing, there was the feeding, there was the dressing again. Or else, first the offering of lamps, then the removal of the forest dress, then the cleansing of the dust from the cows, from their limbs, and so on. Because there was, in the old Vedic culture, the first thing that the mothers would do when the boys would come, they would offer ghee lamps to them to remove any kind of unfavorable influences, because the ghee is very purifying. And in this way, they would also check their limbs to see that there were no scrapes or cuts and that everything, and that they were healthy. But all this was done with so much affection. And then they would remove all their ornaments and then bathe them. And then they would feed them and feed them more and feed them more. According to their desire means, so it was according to their time and according to Krishna Balaram's desire, means in accordance with the desire of their two sons. Most super excellent benedictions, objects of enjoyment and so on, they provided. They were blessing them. They were speaking so sweetly to them. They were giving them things. Or else they simply offered presentations to the two of them and didn't carry out any of their other household duties because of their affection for their sons, which implies that they took them on their laps, they embraced them, they kissed them, because the boys were only 6 years old at this time. And they asked them about their well-being, and they were checking all of their limbs as well as moistening their garments by the milk flowing from their breasts. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment that we've heard. According to their desire, which is yata kamam, means without neglecting the desires of their sons for foodstuffs and so on. And according to the time, yata kalam, means without neglecting the dusk and other times for eating. So they offered first class presentations of food, clothes, and other enjoyable objects at those times. Then the next text, 45. Then what did the mothers do next? And what did Krishna and Balaram do? By being bathed and massaged, the two young lords were relieved of the weariness caused by walking on the country roads. Then they were dressed in attractive robes and decorated with transcendental garlands and fragrances. So Srila Sanatana Goswami says, their weariness was relieved because they were wandering in the forest all day long. So they were bathed, they were massaged and smeared with different oils. And the word in the verse, Divyasra Gandha Mandita, Divyasra means transcendental garlands, implies, so Divyasra means, implies that these things within the home of Yasoda were all transcendental. Everything is composed of the spiritual energy there and capable. Because Krishna, just as if when there's a big fire, one has to be fire to get near that fire. So similarly, to get near Krishna, everyone and everything has to be similarly spiritual as Krishna is spiritual. So Krishna gets no pleasure from material things, in fact. So there is no amount of anything of the material world that we can give Krishna that causes him pleasure. But what does cause Krishna pleasure is the bhakti, because bhakti is not of this material world, it is alokika. It is not of the material world, it is of the transcendental world. So Krishna says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yomam bhaktya paritam. Bhakti Paritama Snami. That Krishna says when things are taken, even if it's a fruit or a flower or some water, Bhakti Paritama Snami Paritapmana, then I accept these things because Krishna gains pleasure with the love, the bhakti, that something is offered with him. Please accept this, Krishna. We've done this for you. Not mechanically, but this is done as an offering for you out of affection. So everything of the spiritual world is spiritual and offered to Krishna with great affection. And Krishna, Asrami, Hitekti, accepts it. So Divya Shrag, Divya means transcendental, and Shrag garlands. So the garlands were transcendental, the scent smeared on Krishna's body were transcendental, the water is transcendental, the devotion is transcendental. Everything in the spiritual world is beyond the material world that is composed of the spiritual energy, the internal energy of Krishna. So this is all Krishna interacting with his own energies, and therefore it is very wonderful. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Oh, Sanatana Goswami also says, by direct interpretation, the word nivim, nivim vasitva ruchiram, means their undergarments, means undergarments, the upper garments being unessential before entrance into the, because brahmacharis are supposed to wear upper cloths. So they weren't brahmacharis, they were so young. And they didn't have any upper garment because before entering into the brahmachari order, they wasn't required that they wore any shirts or any chadars or anything like that when they were in the forest. Or else the upper garment was not being, they didn't wear upper garments because that would block the beauty of their being smeared with markings and other decorations. Or else, because they are always found together, the two different garments are indirectly referred to. And there's no mention, Sanatana Goswami shows that there's no mention, they decorated them with transcendental garlands and fragrances, but there's no mention of ornaments of any kind. It's because of their not having to be changed, since they do not become worn out like the garments or so on. So Krishna and Balaram were so nicely decorated with the devotion of their parents. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment on Gatadvana Shramo Tatra, means the weariness on the road. That they were, all their weariness was removed by their mothers dealing with them and bathing and massaging, etc. So Nashrama Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, lack of weariness. This lack of weariness comprises the, in Krishna, in Krishna's pastimes, there is no weariness because he is actually the Supreme Lord. Text 46. Jani uparitam prasya svadvanam upalalita samvishya varasam sayayam sukam shushupator vraje. After dining sumptuously on the delicious food given them by their mothers and being pampered in various ways, the two brothers lay down upon their excellent beds and happily went to sleep in the village of Braja. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, their parents offered them fine bedding, and thus they happily passed a short time in sleeping as a pastime. By their mothers pampering them, it means they gave them betel nuts, they fanned them, they swung them on swings, they massaged their lotus feet, they joked with them, they sang to them. In this way, they gave them a full helping of motherly love, the boys. So wonderful. Sanatana Goswami says here, This is in his comment to 46. Entering, lying down upon the transcendental bedding. By this it's indicated the passing of a short time in sleep as a pastime. The same is hinted by the word sukham, which means happily. In other words, by the various pleasures offered by the divine gopis, Yasoda and Rohini, such as presentations of betel nut fanning, swinging, massaging of their lotus feet, joking conversations, singing of songs, and so on. The details of these can be known from the topics of the pastimes in Gokul described in the Brihadbhagavatamrita. In Vrindavan, in the midst of the residence of the cows, because of its being secluded and because of its being dear, rather than in such place as a palace, which would be overcrowded with many servants and maidservants, and there would be a lack of freedom. So all this is taking place in Vraja. That's what the last line of this says. Sukam susa patur vraje. So they were very happy as they slept in Vraja. So it's in Vraja where the dealings have a special type of intimacy. Krishna also deals in Dwarka, but there's a special intimacy and a feeling of Krishna is ours, mamata, that occurs in Vrindavan that exists nowhere else. Very special. Now, so what Sanatana Goswami also says, what's mentioned here is done every evening. Every day when the boys return, there is these type of loving exchanges. And he also explains that Sukadeva Goswami feared that Prickett Raj had only a little time left in this world because he had only had 7 days to live. And this is the 10th canto, so he's gone through 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th. And he wanted to explain some more pastimes. So he didn't describe all this in great detail. And Sanatana Goswami also says that the evening pastimes have been thus discussed, but not the morning pastimes. Why? He says, as those would give rise to great pain. But those can be inferred by what occurred in the evening. So the morning pastimes give rise to pain for the mothers. But the evening pastimes don't. Why is that? Because, Krishna's home. So they're so happy. But in the morning, oh no! As soon as we dress him, Krishna is going to leave. So that would bring forth unhappiness. Ecstatic unhappiness. So Sanatana Goswami says, so that we're not going to discuss that. But you should know that the same type of loving bathings and dressings and feedings take place in the morning as do in the evening. So the whole, everything in the land of Vrindavan that goes on, it's different combinations of ecstatic meeting, ecstatic separation, ecstatic fearing separation, ecstatic looking forward to meeting, being with Krishna, being afraid of when Krishna is going to leave next, waiting for the next morning when they'll see Krishna again. Because when Krishna comes home to Vraja, all the residents of Vrindavan become so ecstatic when they see the foot dust. But all the animals of Vrindavan, of the forest, they follow Krishna to the edge of the forest. And then Krishna keeps going into the town of Vraja and they just simply wait there. So as the residents of Vrindavan are feeling ecstatic happiness that Krishna is going, and the fire of their separation is being extinguished. The residents of the Vrindavan forest, the fire of this, their separation is just beginning to blaze. And it's blazing, and they can't wait till Krishna's coming back the next day with the cows. And they're becoming happy when they see the dust of the cows coming. And then the residents of Vrindavan, they're becoming unhappy in separation, seeing that Krishna is leaving. But all of these, just passing from different moods, variegated moods of ecstatic transformations, are just different forms of ecstasy. This is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is the ocean of Bhakti Ras that makes one mad in ecstasy. And these are the different waves in the ocean. Different varieties, like the gopis, the young gopis. They're feeling happiness. Then they're feeling shame. Then they're feeling... First they're smiling, then they're feeling shameful, then they're feeling shy. And these are Vyabhachari Bhavas. These are different different elements of ecstasy that rise within their consciousness and go down shortly, letting another part of ecstasy come up. So Krishna is, you could say, manipulating or causing these different ecstatic emotions to arise in different forms in all the residents of Vrindavan, continuously. Everyone is affected by these dealings of Krishna. And everyone is just simply swimming and floating in an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna. And Krishna is relishing it all. And he's awarding the residents of Vrindavan happiness that even surpasses his own happiness. This is Krishna consciousness. So after describing this, these very wonderful dealings, as Krishna enters Vrindavan, which give us hints at what happens every day. Now Sukadev changes the topic because he wants to move on, because he knows that Prakrit Maharaj doesn't have much time. So he changes the topic to a new pastime. And up to the end of the chapter, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, the final six verses are the beginning of the Leela of Krishna chastising the Kaliya snake. So it begins in this way. Evam sa Bhagavan Krishna Vrindavanachara Krajit Yayo Ramam Rite Rajan Kalindim Sakibi Vritaha. O King Rajan, the Supreme Lord Krishna, Evam, in this way, Sab Bhagavan Krishna, the Supreme Lord Krishna, thus wandered about the Vrindavan area, Vrindavanachara Krajit, performing his pastimes. Kvachit is the sometimes or once. Yayo Ramam Rite Rajan, once, surrounded by his boyfriends. That's Sakebhya Vrita, surrounded by his boyfriends. He went, O King, O Rajan, Ramam, he went without Balaram to the river Yamuna, to the Yamuna River. So once he did this. So Kalinda, the Kalindi is the Yamuna is known as the daughter of the Kalinda Mountain, because she is born of the Kalinda Mountain. So that's the Yamuna River, the Kalindi. So once Krishna went to the Yamuna without Balaram, surrounded by his cowherd boyfriends. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, first we'll read Sanatana Goswami's comment. O King Rajan indicates Sukadev's feeling of distress remembering this pastime. What pastime is he beginning? How Krishna is going to be enwrapped in the coils of Kaliya. He's just beginning that pastime, so he's saying, "O King, this is what's happening." So just by remembering Krishna enwrapped in the coils, he himself, Sukadev, the speaker, is beginning to feel distress. Because when one loves another, to even think, even if you know that nothing is going to happen, to think of one's beloved in a distressful situation causes great pain. So feeling distress at remembering this pastime, or else it is spoken of the purpose of making the king keep his composure later. You're a king. Because it's going to be a very heavy pastime. Or else being resplendent because of the full manifestation of the beauty of Krishna's personal limits. Because Rajan also means resplendent and effulgent. Since on that particular day, Krishna wore few ornaments, so therefore his natural beauty shone forward resplendently. He wore few ornaments as was suitable for such pastimes as entering the water of the Kaliya Lake. Or else he was resplendent because of the manifestation of a special potency that would be used for the subduing of Kaliya. And surrounded for the sake of everyone seeing his divine face, and for the sake of his seeing the pure love of all of them, out of the rivalry of their love, they all came forward, they surrounded him on all sides. And particularly, they were surrounding him because the Queen of Vrindavan, Mother Yasoda, had ordered him to always stay surrounded by his coward boy friends for protection. The name Kalinda, Sanatana Goswami says, means he who immediately destroys the mutual quarreling, which is the fault of Kali. The time of the age of Kali, which is the age of quarrel. And Kalindi is his daughter, the one who destroys the struggles. So the Kalindi is the one who destroys the struggling of the quarrels of the age of Kali. This is the Yamuna River. Thus, it implies that she has the same quality. She's inherited that from the Kalinda mountain, destroys the qualities of quarrel that is so inherent in the age of quarrel, Kali Yuga. And why is there so much quarreling in Kali Yuga? Because everyone is so miserable, and everyone is in a bad mood because of their misery. So everyone is so disturbed continuously. Every little thing starts a quarrel. So thus it is appropriate that Krishna travels to her, to the Kalindi, for the purpose of driving away Kaliya. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on this. Thus, having completed the pastime of Gopastami in the month of Kartik, and so on, a pastime of a particular day in the summer of that same year is described in the verse beginning Avam. So this is taking place in the hot season, past Kartik, months later, when it's very, very, very hot in Brajadam. Without Rama, he's gone without Rama because his two mothers kept Rama on that day at home for the purpose of performing the bathing ceremony on his birth date. So we can then understand that this is Balaram Jayanti. What month is Balaram Jayanti? What month? Bhadra? Or Ashwin? Huh? I think it's the next month. Then it's Bhadra. It's not in Shravan. But I don't know for sure. So that's when this took place on Balaram's birthday. This pastime took place, so he didn't go to the river with Balaram. And
Text 48. At that time, the cows and cowherd boys were feeling acute distress from the glaring summer sun. Afflicted by thirst, they drank the water of the Yamuna River, but it had been contaminated with poison. Sanatana Goswami says, both the cows and the boys simultaneously drank. Otherwise, one would have seen the misfortune of the other and would not have drunk. Thus they drank due to their distress without waiting for Krishna. They ran ahead, the boys and the cows, to drink, and Krishna was behind. Otherwise, Krishna would have stopped them. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a short comment. The cows, who were disregarding Krishna because he was slowly coming from behind, and who, because of being distressed by thirst, were quickly going ahead, and also some of the cowherd boys who were running in pursuit of them, they all went ahead of Krishna. Text 49 through 50. As soon as they touched the poison waters, all the cows and boys lost their consciousness by the divine power of the Lord, and they fell lifeless at the water's edge. O hero of the Kurus, Maharaj Prickett, seeing them in such a condition, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystics of mystic, master of all mystic potency, he felt compassion for these devotees who had no Lord other than him. Thus, he immediately brought them back to life by showering his nectarian glance upon them. So they died, and Krishna glanced at them and brought them back to life. And in this verse, these two verses, 49 and 50, it says, Vishambhotarupa is repeated for stress in Atanga Goswami. It says, Vishambhotarupa Sprisha. That means the poison waters, simply by touching these poison waters, they died. And this alone was the cause of all the cows and boys falling down, that the waters were poisoned. Sanatana Goswami says, seeing all of them, just the drinking of the water without Krishna, they're being distressed by the heat of the summer, is the arrangement of the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all for the purpose of driving away Kaliya. Therefore it is stated that it is by Daiva, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that this happened. Daiva Opahata Chesta. So this is happening by the potency, by the Lord's will. Or because it is Daiva, which also means destiny, it is the destiny of Kaliya that their consciousness was taken away. All of this and all the rest of the details which are yet to be described should be assumed to be part of the amazing activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since at the end of this account, the phrase will be stated, whose activities are wonderful. That's Adbhuta Chestataha. So it will say that Krishna's activities are all wonderful. So this is all part of Krishna's wonderful activities, that the boys, right in his presence, touching the water, they fell down dead along with the cows. And seeing all of them in such a condition, the failure to specifically mention what the condition is because it would be improper to again describe in great elaboration that which is inauspicious, or else because of the rise of Sukadev, within Sukadev, of extreme affection. So he didn't say what the condition was, either because he didn't want to say something that was so painful again, or because he was feeling so much affection that he couldn't say it. Completely dispelling their faintness, pain and consciousness, Krishna immediately brought them back to life and made them well again. This is because Krishna is the only friend of the residents of Vrindavan. Or else, because he is disturbed by the pain of others. And this is not all, at all amazing. As stated, the master of the masters of yoga, meaning that simply by a trace of a small portion of his potency, all the masters of yoga get their individual potencies from him. Or else he perfectly maintains even the masters of yoga, what to speak of the residents of Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami says, the setting of correctly of all the unfortunate happenings is described by the verse beginning Daiva. Deva, it means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this opulence of the potencies of his, yet to be enacted, pastimes, is called Devam. Daiva means the activities of Deva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Their being as if lifeless can be understood to be caused by the potencies of the Supreme Lord. Deva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this Daivam is his opulences of his pastime potencies. By that Daivam, having lost their consciousness, this is because, as is to be stated later on, Krishna, who has albhuta chaitita, whose pastimes are wonderful. Lifeless means, for the purpose of perfecting his pastimes, covering over their life airs, even though they are eternal, by his yoga maya he covered them over, since indeed we see that was the case. You know, Krishna Advut, in 10.16.64, the term is Krishnena Advuta Karmanam, Krishna whose activities are wonderful. And the final two verses, not much to be said, but that will complete this chapter and bring us to the beginning of the next chapter where Krishna was chastised clear. So regaining their full consciousness, the cows and boys stood up out of the water and began to look at one another in great astonishment because they knew they had died and they had been brought back to life just by the merciful glance of Krishna. The cowherd boys then considered that although they had drunk poison and although they had in fact died, simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, they had regained their lives and they stood up by their own strength. So Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanath have some short comments here. Sanatana Goswami says, very much surprised because all of them all together at the same time immediately rose up as if from deep sleep and they looked at one another. And because of their feeling extremely surprised, or else because of all them thinking the same thought. And what was that thought? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Sanatana Goswami will say. Rising up out of the water, they became very much surprised. We have been dead. What has brought us back to life? By what medicinal herb or poison dispelling mantra has this been done? They therefore all looked at each other and thought this. My dear friend, one said, do you know the secret behind this? Thus they're inquiring from one another. While they are thus in great doubt, one of them, remembering the words of Gagamuni, Gagacharya, understood properly what had happened and states, my dear friends, yes, I understand the reason for this. As stated by Gagacharya, by Krishna's agency, you boys will easily cross beyond all obstacles. Thus, all of them fully had this remembrance. Thus, by this chain of ideas, they reached their conclusions. And that conclusion was what is stated in text 52. They understood that they had drunk poison, they had died, and simply by the merciful glance of Govinda, they had regained their lives. Maybe after looking at each other with great astonishment. Sanatana Goswami comments, they accepted that by the mercy of Govinda, the king of Gokul, or by his arrangement, by his glance, or else, O king implies that it is because of such first class devotees of the Lord as yourself. O king implies, Sukadeva Goswami
is saying, because such first-class devotees of the Lord as yourself do not recognize any other cause for their good fortune apart from the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead, as was in the case of Sri Yudhisthira and his brothers. So this is the nature of devotees. When they see anything good happens to them, they simply think, this is by the merciful grace of Govinda. Jiva Goswami says, they thought that their rising up was caused by the merciful glance of Govinda. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because they had drunk poison and died, they unanimously thought that the reason for their ability to stand up was the merciful glance of Govinda, who, they thought, had been empowered by the worshipable deity of the king of Vrindavan, Sri Narayan. Because even though they knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they could never know he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They always thought, oh, he's so wonderful, he's lifting the Govardhan Hill. Why? Oh, it must be he's empowered by Narayan to do such wonderful activities. No matter what happened, what Krishna did, due to their love, even though they saw it directly in front of them, they could not accept that he was God, because that would ruin the intimacy of their relationship. And the final comment by Sanatana Goswami is, they accepted that their ability to stand up after having died was the mercy of Govinda, the king of Gokul, or by the arrangement of his merciful glance. As they considered that his glance was the sole cause of their standing up, both the glance and standing up are stated together and considered as none different. Sri Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his Vrindavan Leela. Thank you very much. Questions, comments? But this is, if we just say, oh, the cowboys were feeling ecstasy as they fell down to the ground, and then as they got up they were feeling ecstasy, and then as they saw Krishna going into the lake and being enwrapped by Kaliya, they were feeling ecstasy, then you wouldn't get any feeling of pastime or the different kinds of ecstasies that they were feeling. Their distress was an ecstasy, certainly, but yet they were feeling a kind of distress.
But it's not distress as we know. Because in our experience is that you relish water when you're thirsty.
But this is all going on by Krishna's daivam, by the pastime potency of Govinda. So Krishna causes them to feel ecstatic thirst, and then causes them to feel ecstatic falling down and covering. It says directly.
Yeah, it says in the next one.
They covered their consciousness, even. The Krishna.
It says they lost their consciousness by the wine parallel, so it wasn't actually by the poison that they lost.
No, this is Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah, it says, I think Sanatana Goswami said, he covered their life heirs by his potency. So it would appear as if they had died. In Vrindavan, nothing is as what it appears. But if we don't take at all what is going on, then there's no sense of Leela or pastimes. Yeah? Well, that's because we're in the material world. That's why everything of the spirit.
Because our experience is that sort of pleasure arises in pain. If you're hungry, then you can really relish what you're eating. But if you're not hungry, you don't relish it so much. And if you're full, you don't relish it at all.
Yeah, but the idea is it's the same thing in the spiritual world. That the pleasure of eating comes from hunger. But the hunger is ecstatic. And not only that, not only the hunger is ecstatic, because everything is based on Krishna's pleasure there. So all this is called Naralila. This is Krishna's pastimes that imitate human beings. In Vaikuntha, these things don't happen because there's so much awe and reverence. No one's allowed to be hungry. No one's allowed to be drink poison. No one's allowed to, there's no fun there. There's no pastimes. So Goloka Vrindavan, where these things mimic, or rather what happens in the material world mimics Goloka Vrindavan, it doesn't mimic Vaikuntha. So Goloka Vrindavan is the highest thing, and it's the most difficult to understand because it's Naralila. It's Krishna's pastimes that are quite similar to the pastimes of a human, but it's not like a human. But we better get this point straight, because soon we're going to come to the Rasa dance. Probably next year. But still, I mean, if we don't understand these points now and don't get it really clear in our consciousness, what are we going to do? Go to the 11th canto. But it has to be understood in this way, that these are different varieties of ecstasy. Whatever it appears, whatever it superficially appears as if is going on, the only thing that's going on actually is the residents of Vrindavan acting in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. So the residents of Vrindavan, without it going through their consciousness, they're so fully surrendered to be for Krishna's pleasure that Krishna wants to enact this pastime of chastising Kaliya. So they're ready to be just moved along by Krishna's pastime potency, to drink the water, fall down, to be brought up again, and think, we've been brought up just by the merciful glance of Krishna. They're so fully surrendered, and therefore they're just being moved in this ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, being moved by Krishna's yogamaya potency. And they don't lose anything by that. Right now, we are fully surrendered to Krishna's material energy, and we think we're the doers, but we're being moved completely up and down, round and round, by Krishna's material energy. Because this is the nature of the tatastha shakti. It needs the shelter of one of the energies or the other. So in the spiritual world, the devotees are surrendered to Krishna's pleasure. This is their great happiness due to their love for Krishna. So they're being moved by the internal energy, by his ladini shakti, his yogamaya, continuously. And it's playing with them. So really, what's going on in the spiritual world is Krishna's playing with his energies. But what it's like, we cannot conceive of from our position.
In other words, the question is, we can only sort of understand it theoretically, we cannot practically experience ecstatic hunger or ecstatic thirst.
Can we?
Can we?
You can see.
Or theoretically.
But we're not on this level, right? But they are. Because we're not doesn't mean that they're not.
Instead of distress, we move that
No. But sometimes you have a glimpse of that. When, say, on a day when you're cooking. And you're working, all you're doing is working hard. You can't pay someone to cook for 12 hours a day like the devotees sometimes cook or work for so much. But There's a touch of the internal energy in there, and we get a glimpse that there's something going on here that's beyond just material work. We get glimpses. We chant Hare Krishna. We get glimpses of a different type of an energy at work. But they're completely immersed in that energy. They're over their heads. They're drowning in that energy. We just, every once in a while, our pinky goes in, our toe goes in, or it comes down to us, and we just get a glimpse that this is something other than the material world. When we look at the deities, kirtan, when there's some surrender or some holy days, that's why it's the malavatiti bhakati janani. By observing the festivals and the holy days, then it's easier to get in touch with some of the spiritual energy. It's like available, like the treasure chest is open. So we get our glimpses. Who is there in only you, in Mayapur? when the installation of Panchatattva. So everyone who talks of who was there, that's maybe a very apparent example. Were you there? No. Yeah, only in Italy. But even I was talking to Pancha Dungri, he said there was such an ecstasy for a few days, and then it was diminished. But they allowed the ecstasy to flow. The Panchatattva. Is true or not true? Something special. Out of this world, so we get little without a glimpse. How would we go on? Without a little taste, how would we go on?
Yes.
Sometimes the kirtans get so ecstatic. We get a little bit of a taste, but the coward boys, if we take that little bit of a taste that we're getting, and we times it by what? And they're always swimming and diving by, you know, countless billions and billions. They're just simply swimming and floating, being overwhelmed in the great tsunami of love for Krishna. They're being swept away. Yes. He's Kali, yes. But also in one of the verses in the beginning of the next chapter, he'll be called Krishna also. We have three uses of the word Krishna in one verse. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna meaning Krishna. Krishna meaning the Yamuna River. And Krishna meaning blackish Kaliya. See, what we can't understand. You know, we can't penetrate. This is the point. This is a point. We don't penetrate to the spiritual world through our intelligence. We penetrate through the Bhagavatam, through the holy names, through association of devotees, through the Dham, and through the deity, by their grace, by their association. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.